No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I'm joined by my co-host, Maria Sanchez, and together we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about issues that are important to you and that affect the lives of all of us. So call in at 888-627-6008, or you can Skype your questions to BBSRADIOPR. Maria is not with us tonight because she's out gallivanting across Europe. We keep on getting seeing her on Facebook. She's in, I think the latest place she's been is Edinburgh, Scotland, and she's headed on for more places tomorrow. So she won't be with us next week either. But we have a great guest tonight, and we're going to talk to him about statehood and about other things. And first of all, let me tell you that this week, Eleanor Holmes Norton announced that she has her 204th co-sponsor on our statehood bill. She's gotten another co-sponsor. She didn't tell us who it is, so we don't know yet, so we can't thank that person. But according to our delegate in the House of Representatives, we have 204 co-sponsors there, and we have 31 in the Senate. So without further delay, let me bring on my guest for tonight, Noah Wills. And let me tell you a little bit about Noah. First of all, I didn't even know about this about Noah. I got his resume. If I had known he was this accomplished, I would have made him do more stuff when he worked with us. But he worked in the House of Representatives for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He was a legislative intern to Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, great guy, worked for us in the Office of the Statehood Delegation, and we loved him. He was great. He now works for a consulting firm that has a contract with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, something I know a little bit about because it was the first major term paper I ever did when I was in college, was on the formation of USDA. And the reason we have him on the show and the reason we love him so much is that he's head of a thing called Students for DC Statehood, which is just a great group that tries to get young people engaged in our battle for equality here in the district. And that's so important, you know, because us old geezers, we're getting tired. And the fight has gone on for 210 years. So we really need young people involved in this fight. And Noah's one of the people that's helping us get them. So let's welcome him to the show. Noah, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. And first, let me ask you the obvious question. How did you get involved with Students for DC Statehood? What motivated you to do that?
Well, it all started, I attended American University. And while I was there, there was kind of an interest forming in forming a club about statehood at AU. There was one in the past that kind of died out, and we were trying to look about restarting it. And so I kind of took that over when we had the idea more firmed out. And from there, it just led me to kind of take over the overall organization. So we've been doing some good work for about 4 years now.
Yeah, and you have, first of all, let me just say about American University, since it's Mrs. Brown's alma mater, great school, and you have chapters in other places too, right? There's one at GW, and I don't know, are there other schools as well?
Yeah, we actually canvass at 8 of the local DC universities, which are the 8 major universities here, but we have definitely some active chapters, especially at AU and Georgetown and GW and Howard. So we want to involve all students as possible, but we operate some chapter structures, which really help us engage more students on a localized level.
Well, you know, that's really been a problem in the District of Columbia, and it's something that we've complained about for a very long time, is that we have so many universities in the District of Columbia, and we have so many students that pass through this city and then go out into the rest of the country and the world. And part of our problem is that not enough people know about the situation we're in. So for years, we've complained that we haven't been able to get enough university students engaged, and it's really great that you're doing that, because it's really important to our cause. Do you get support from do we support you in the DC government? Do we give you some support for to help with this?
Yeah, the DC government is actually a very big help to our organization. So every year we apply to Mayor Bowser's DC statehood grant through the Office of the Secretary. And we're always very, very excited and thankful that we get that every year, so that we can continue our efforts and grow each year upon what we've did in the last couple of years.
Well, just in case the mayor's listening, give them more money, Mayor. They can use it. They're doing a great job. So tell us what kind of things you're doing these days with Students for DC Statehood.
Sure. So for those who don't know, Students for DC Statehood is an organization dedicated to educating and mobilizing students and young adults to advocate for equal rights and statehood for the people of the District of Columbia. So we kind of do two paths. We educate. So some of the things we do to educate are congressional legislative tracking. So every time a new co-sponsor is added to the House or Senate bill, we'll update our website and post on social media about it. We'll have some educational videos that we just published recently that really dive deep into what statehood is and the history behind it, and we'll have some more videos to come. We have some of our chapter leaders who were interested in doing some weekly blog posts, so they kind of dive into some of the pros and cons and the path forward and the top topics about statehood. And then we just, you know, send out some monthly emails to all the students who have signed up with us in the past. And then some ways we mobilize. Each year we have a letter writing campaign. We have, you know, weekly canvassing at universities now. We have each chapter has their own events and speakers and newspaper articles in their student newspapers. We march in parades and other statehood events, and we just register students to vote. So anything and everything that we can do to get more students involved is crucial in this aspect. And, you know, you brought up there are several students here in D.C. There are close to 100,000 students who attend an educational institution in D.C. at any one time. So it's a large population. So it's crucial that we get those people involved.
Yeah, it's absolutely crucial. And, you know, so many of them are from other places. And this is an issue that my experience with it, Noah, is that young people get it right away. You know, we're treated differently than everybody else. And it's something that resonates with young people. And I think part of the reason for that, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that young people are treated differently and they get it. They, you know, it's something that annoys them politically and otherwise. Let me say this about your videos. I looked at your videos and I couldn't believe how good they were. The one that I saw, I think maybe the best video, with the exception of the thing that John Oliver did, that I've ever seen on statehood. And it's really great. So do me a favor right now and tell people where they can see these on your website. Can they see them on your website? I think that's where I went, to your website.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can go to www.studentsfordcstatehood.org. That's all spelled out. And it'll be on our homepage, I think the video you're referring to, or they can follow us on any of the social media platforms that we're on that they could also find on our website to find that video.
Yeah, and you know what, people? Go out there and look at this video and then send it to people, retweet it, or, you know, can they download it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, download it, retweet it, put it on Facebook, whatever, because it's really, really well done. And, you know, and that's something which is really an important asset for us too with young people, is that you guys understand this stuff so much better than us old geezers. You know, I put out a tweet and my assistant Karen's got to correct it 3 times and tell me that I'm doing it wrong. So the social media stuff is so important to us, and you're so good at doing it. So what else, anything coming up for you guys in the near future, or any events or anything?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of stuff coming up. Right, I'm sure we'll get into this more as the hour goes on, but we've also added a new page on our website that kind of goes over the 2020 presidential candidate aspect of DC statehood. So every candidate that has decided to run, according to the New York Times, we've added a section on everything that that person has said on statehood. So we've done hours and hours on end of looking up their past support or opposition to statehood and making sure that it's updated on our website. So we update that almost daily, especially because presidential candidates announce almost daily. So we want to make sure that everybody can have access to that and learn about, you know, everything from both Democrat and Republican and independent, whoever's running. We want to make sure that people know their stances on statehood, because it is becoming more of a primary issue in this election. You know, it's being paired more with electoral college reform and other voting rights forms of in general. But some of the things that we're doing in the future, as this election comes closer, we want to make sure that we reach out to universities that are in some target areas. So anywhere there's a debate coming up or a town hall coming up, we want to make sure that those students are involved there and even have some draft questions for these debates if there are audience questions involved, so that they can ask about statehood in their own states, even if it's not here in D.C. But as always, this year coming up, we want to make sure that we target the freshmen who are coming here to D.C., but we also want to reach out to D.C. students that go to high school here that go to the states for their education so that they can bring the message back with them.
Yeah, and that's an important point to make. There's 100,000 young people that come here to go to college, but there are lots of young people from Washington, D.C. that go elsewhere. You know, my son graduated from college in Washington State. My daughter went to Chicago, and that's where she went to college. My other daughter is in Baltimore, Maryland, just finishing up college now. So we send a lot of kids out there, too. So the high school kids are really, really important. And the presidential primaries, it's, you know, it's just amazing. They get so much attention that keeping the statehood question in front of the presidential candidates is really, really important to us. So thanks for doing that. And I know that Iowans for DC Statehood, another group that works with us, they're asking every Democrat that comes to Iowa how they feel about DC statehood. And that's important to us. And most of the Democratic candidates so far that I've encountered support DC statehood. They're either on the DC statehood bill now, or they've made statements in support. Are there any that haven't made statements of support at this point?
Both Democrat and Republican, I don't have any independents yet, but both Democrat and Republican candidates so far that have announced have all said something or done something on DC statehood. So I strongly encourage everybody to go to that website and check it out, because there's, you know, every single person that's running has said something or done something on statehood, which is kind of crazy, because I think in the past, I know I'm young, but I don't feel like there's been this level of not only support, but visibility on the issue. So it's a great time for statehood, and we have to keep the conversation going because we still have a year and a half to go.
Right. That's absolutely true. And you're right about that. I remember a Republican debate a few years ago when Mike Huckabee was running. There were like 8 Republican candidates, and he was the only one to say anything about D.C. statehood. When asked directly by somebody in the audience what they thought of D.C. statehood, one guy that was running for president said, well, if the people of D.C. don't like it, let them move to Maryland. What a crazy thing to say, you know, if you don't like, imagine telling the people of California, you know, if you don't like something, move to Nevada. We're really getting a lot of attention. It's really a positive thing. Let me tell you that prior to the show today, I went on Ballotpedia, Do you know how many candidates are actually running? These are people that have declared.
I believe the number's at 22 now with Joe Biden.
22 Democrats who are considered viable, but altogether 229 Democrats, 84 Republicans, 25 Libertarians, and 14 Green Party people have actually taken out paperwork, you know, and have are establishing committees. There are 22 that are considered serious in the Democratic Party. But I was stunned. I mean, it's like everybody in their. I feel left out. Like I'm the only elected Democrat in America not running for president. What else do you want to say about statehood? What else is going on with you guys in statehood that I'm not asking? What's a question that you would ask?
I think a good question to ask is why students? And I think the answer to that is many things. First up, it's important for any group of people, let alone people coming here in D.C. to learn about democracy, to be involved in any movement. But also because, like I said before, D.C. is such a unique place where it attracts people from all over the 50 states to come here to educate themselves and learn. And we want to use that presence here when they go back for breaks or after they graduate to bring that message back home with them to their friends, to their families, to their elected officials. And like I said before, you know, we want to make sure that the students here in D.C. that go out also expand that message. But students and young people are really the future of this movement and the future of any civil rights movement. You know, they're either going to inherit a new state or they're going to inherit the problem. So we have to make sure that they're involved in all the steps of this process. And they're really the only semi-permanent voting residents of D.C. right now. So we really need to rely on them because D.C. can't do this alone, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know, again, you're right about student involvement. You know, we always look to the civil rights movement in the South, SNCC, which was a student nonviolent coordinating committee of the civil rights movement in the South, was very, very important. In fact, many of those people like Marion Barry and Frank Smith, and I'm trying to think of some of the others. There's so many who came to Washington and started the original statehood movement, which kind of died out for a while and then was revived. It was young people from that movement that really started it. And when you talk about teaching people about democracy, we started a website called Teach Democracy just for that, aimed at high school students across America, just for that purpose, because we think there are so many lessons to be learned in our struggle for DC statehood. You know, this goes back to the formation of the country. So if you want to learn about how the country was formed and how the Constitution was developed and implemented and ratified, D.C. is right in the center of that. If you move on to the civil rights movement, we're right in the center of that. And so a study of American history, a study of D.C. statehood is a study of American political history, even today, where we're kept out of the process mostly because of partisanship. So, and actually, now that we're on the subject, let me throw this out to you as somebody with political experience. Somebody came to me who was a political activist the other day and suggested, you probably know, Noah, that in Washington, D.C., when we got home rule, we agreed that two of the elected offices on our city council would be non-majority party, so that Republicans could have a say in city government. Really hasn't worked out that way, but that was the idea. Somebody suggested that we go to Congress and amend the statehood bill to say that one of the senators would have to be non-majority party, and that would make it more palatable to Republicans. What do you think of that idea?
Actually, when I was on the Hill about 2 years ago, I think, I was approaching senators as they were walking through the hallways asking them about this issue. And you're right, one of them did come up to me and say, Now, I don't know if I support it because of the political issue. I don't think we could get, you know, more conservative-leaning senators on board. But she said, if you could somehow stipulate that one senator would be Democratic and one would be Republican, I might consider, you know, voting for it in the partisan aspect. So that makes it more bipartisan. I don't know personally, you know, how I feel about the issue. I think if we're fighting for self-determination, which is really what this is, it's hard to limit ourselves to say we'll elect this person and this person rather than leaving it up to the people. But, you know, I think there is something to say for minority rights in this country. But, you know, when it gets down to it, it really is a state issue. And that's why we need to get more conservatives on board, because statehood really is a conservative issue in the sense that, you know, we want to shrink the power of the federal government and give it back to the states as a new state in this case. So I think it's an interesting question. I would love to see it debated one day.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I think that was the perfect answer, because I, too, would have a hard time supporting it as a Democrat who's going for the idea that we should have control over our own destiny. So we should really pick our own candidates just like every other state without restriction. But then again, it is kind of a fascinating idea, because it's something that we run into all the time. This is definitely a partisan issue. If the Republicans weren't convinced that they would get two Democrats in perpetuity in the Senate, they would be much more amenable to support the legislation, I believe. But so that's really the perfect answer, and I'd love to see it debated too. Maybe we should find a Republican and get him on the show and actually debate that issue. I'm trying to think of anything else about statehood that you guys are involved in. You've done an absolutely great job. Oh, you know what I want to ask you? Look, this is on a personal level. Noah and I got to know each other a little bit in Edinburgh, Scotland, where Noah came to help us as members of UNPO at their annual meeting. When we met, Noah, you told me you were on your way to Copenhagen, Denmark, where you served at the Danish Institute for Study Abroad. How did that go? Was that a great experience? Did you
learn much? It was amazing. Yeah. It was completely amazing. I was very fortunate enough to travel a lot through my childhood. And so going abroad, having a new experience of just living somewhere for an extended period of time, was obviously life-changing. But yes, we got to know each other through the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization. I went with you in Edinburgh in 2017, and then I was very fortunate actually to go two other times in the next 2 years. I went to Brussels in 2018 and the UK in 2019 this year to again further our efforts, because as you know, the UNPO, we're the only North American member. That says something about what's happening in our country right now.
Yeah, absolutely true. Senator Strauss got us involved in that, and it was such an important thing to do because, you know, we approached international organizations before, and none of them have been particularly receptive. But I know he worked hard to get us into that, and it's really important because we are unrepresented in the District of Columbia, and we need to let the world know. I just got back from Portugal, where I was a keynote speaker at an international conference, and it's important for us to get the word out there. And yeah, Noah was just an incredible help over there. You know, you really did some heavy lifting for us, and we really appreciate it. Us old geezer guys that couldn't get around without you and our trusty assistant Angel Lee, who was just, you know, is also an amazing person that was over there helping us. Well, now that we've talked about D.C. statehood, I'd like to get your input a little bit on presidential politics, like, you know, what young people think are important issues, not so much any particular candidates, but what issues are important to you. But I want to start with this little quiz, because I went over the 22 candidates, and there's two of them that there's a few of them that I don't know anything about. So I want you to tell me, of all these candidates, if you know something about about all of them. Now, you're a pretty astute guy, so maybe you do. But Joe Biden, Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, is that the way you pronounce his name?
Buttigieg,
right. I'm sorry. Julian Castro, John Delaney, Tulsi Gabbard, Mike Gravel, Kamala Harris, Jay Inslee, Amy Klobuchar, Wayne Messam, Seth Moulton, Beto O'Rourke, I don't know why I can't say his name, Tim Ryan, Bernie Sanders, Eric Swalwell, Elizabeth Warren, Marianne Williamson, and Andrew Yang. Do you know all these guys? Do you know something about all these guys?
Yeah, actually, on our website, we have something on all of them, except for Mike Gravel. I don't think we've had his announcement on the, at least for the New York Times article that we base our announcements on. But yeah, each one of them have said something on statehood, and I'm happy to go over anybody specific that you want.
Well, and you know, Gravel, he may have just announced. I saw him on the website, but on the New York Times website today, and I hadn't heard that he was on before. But he is also a strong statehood supporter because he's run in the past, and he's from Alaska. He's a former senator from Alaska. So he was always a strong. So as soon as you find out about him, I'm sure you'll put him up and he'll be another statehood supporter. But they all have said something. Julian Castro has said something about statehood, for example.
Yep. Yeah. So so Julian Castro, as we saw with the Iowans for D.C. statehood group on April 15th, they got a picture with him wearing a D.C. 51 pin. And then on Twitter on March 25th, he said, "Our nation succeeds when more Americans can participate in democracy. Important first steps: eliminate Electoral College, require independent redistricting, automatic same-day voter reg, E-Day as a federal holiday, support D.C. statehood and self-determination for Puerto Rico." So even on his Twitter, he's kind of active in the statehood fight.
Well, you know, and that's so important. I don't know how people can go around and talk about voter suppression and issues like redistricting, how that affects voter participation and the Electoral College, and avoid the question of District of Columbia, because we're over 700,000 people now that are totally disenfranchised. So that's an important part of the issue. And let me also point out about Julian Castro, just on a personal note, I've played a role in the past 10 Democratic presidential nominating conventions, and Castro was one of the keynote speakers at the 2014 convention in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was the talk of the convention. Everybody talked about what an amazing speaker he was, what an amazing presence he was. So he's one of the guys that our listeners might not really be familiar with, but he's somebody you should keep an eye on. How about John Delaney? Do you know him? He was a Maryland congressman.
Yeah, actually, John Delaney was, we had our American University Students for D.C. Statehood chapter actually confront him and ask him statehood questions. So he's said a lot on statehood, also in support. But the one thing I will point out for Delaney is that when the American University chapter asked him when he was at an event there if he would continue his support for statehood should he become president, his response was not as supportive as his actions have been by co-sponsoring the statehood legislation in the House for the past since 2013. He basically said that he would still support it, but if elected president, he doesn't really see it happening anytime soon. So that was kind of a less than enthusiastic answer that we wanted from our American University chapter. But you know, his actions have shown that he will support, you know, statehood in the future.
Well, and you know what? That may be part of that, may be that he's from Maryland, and this has been an issue so long in the District of Columbia, right? And maybe you don't hear this as much because you're young, but I certainly hear it from people that have lived here many, many years, is that they support the idea, but they too feel that, you know, it's not going to happen anytime soon because it's been out there for so long. So I don't know, you know, if it's necessarily negative or just, you know, from his experience of being close at hand and seeing it close up. I know that one of the good things for us is that almost every Democratic candidate who's announced in the United States Senate, where we have less support, has been a co-signer and a supporter of the bill. Cory Booker has supported it. Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii, Kamala Harris, certainly Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, they've all been strong supporters, and so that's good for us. And Joe Biden in the past has said good things about Sacred. So both he and President Obama. So those are all good. What about Tim Ryan? Has he said anything from Ohio?
So Tim Ryan, he also wore a statehood pin with Iowans for DC statehood. But Tim Ryan is mostly in action. He has supported and co-sponsored the statehood bill since 2011. Since 2013. He did not do it his first term in the House, maybe right. just because he didn't know about the issue back then. But he's been a supporter ever since. And for Joe Biden, actually, when he was in the Senate, you know, all those years ago, he was not on the statehood legislation, but he has had supportive comments in the past. But what we really need is for candidates to post on their campaign website as part of their platforms. So far, I believe the only one that I've seen is Andrew Yang actually has it on his campaign website. But this is something that we really need, you know, because it's being paired with electoral college reform, felon enfranchisement, and all these other voting rights reforms. Statehood needs to be an aspect of that and on everybody's website.
Well, we're going to try to get Andrew Yang on the show. We had a few weeks ago Marianne Williamson on the show, and she gave a strong statement in support of DC statehood. And you may or may not know that they were in town lately to do a town hall with CNN. And Marianne Williamson went first, and then Andrew Yang. So we're reaching out to Yang to try to get him on the show because we'd like to hear what these people have to say. And we do want to do exactly what you're doing, is nail them down to put this issue on their website so they stand up for it publicly. And they take a public stand on it because that's what's important to us. I don't think, you know, I don't know if you know who the 14th Green Party candidates are. I don't know who they are, but the Green Party, we've been part of the Green Party platform for a long time, the statehood issue, and hopefully we'll be part of the Democratic platform again. We were a part of the Democratic platform last time, but two times ago they had taken statehood out. So we put up billboards. And Mike Panetta and I put up billboards in Charlotte at the convention reminding them how important statehood was. And in the next convention, we were on the platform. So we assume we'll be back there again. Let me ask you, as a young person, beyond statehood, what are the issues that you care about? What do you want? What's important to you? Jobs, housing, you know, healthcare. What are the things you care most about and you think other young people care most about?
If I'm thinking just in general for young people, you know, as my generation is now growing up and we're getting off of our parents' healthcare, I think healthcare is definitely a big issue as we, you know, get our first jobs. As we transition into, you know, real adulthood post-college. I think another one, you know, as we've been talking about, is voting rights. A lot of reforms have been talked about right now, and, you know, students are kind of seeing the not only what is being proposed, but they're criticizing it in a way that is making it not only better, but they're just learning more about issues and, you know, maybe the way we do things now isn't the best way we could be doing them. And then I think the third might be the environment, because, you know, we're the generation that's going to face climate change. And so, you know, they want to do something about it now, So I think those are maybe the top three issues in my mind that students are focused on. And I think, you know, getting back to D.C. a little bit, D.C. is in a tough situation because, at least for us, the primaries are so late in the presidential cycle that I'm very surprised of the amount of candidates that have come to D.C. so far for these town halls and for these events. Because, you know, D.C. is one of the last primaries in the entire season. So it's hard for candidates, especially the mass of them at the beginning, to make it to D.C. by the end and to have something, you know, substantial and important to say here.
Well, you know that the Democratic State Committee, there was a proposal before the Democratic State Committee to move the primary up just for that reason, because we only get three electoral votes, and the idea that we're the last primary really dilutes any impact that we could possibly have. So they tried to move that up. Of course, incumbents don't like that because local incumbent politicians, because it benefits them to have a late primary. It gives them a little more of an advantage than if they move the primary up. Voter turnout's lower. More dedicated voters show up. So they've kind of stood against it, and that's too bad, because I think it would help us to have an earlier primary. But also, let me just talk about these three things a little bit. First of all, with health care, you should know that when I got my first job out of college, it included health care benefits. Every job I've ever had until I started working for myself at about 30 years old and providing for my own health care. Every job I had, professional job I had, came with health care. But that's not true anymore, is it?
No.
I mean, I don't think my kids, I don't think my two college graduates, I don't think they get health care. And one of them, believe me, it was a big deal for her because she just got bounced off. She just turned 26, so it was a big deal in her new job. She just got a new job a few months ago where they provided health benefits. And that was a big thing for her, getting health benefits. So I understand that issue. Voting rights and just getting young people engaged. Let me tell you, in my opinion, this may be the upside to Donald Trump. My father used to say there was an upside and a downside to everything in life. And the upside may be that he's getting more people involved. People are getting angry. Young people are getting angry when they see what's going on. Again, my two daughters that I don't know if they ever voted or not, but they both vote now. It's great to see young people getting involved in that issue. And as far as the environment goes, let me tell you, I just came back from an international conference, and this was the number one issue, because the organization that I went to speak to, what they try to do is bring politicians and business people around the world together to enhance globalization. And this is an issue that was unanimously agreed upon, that nobody could solve, no country can solve this problem on their own. We've got to bring the world together to work on this. And let me also say to you as a young person, I'm sorry that, you know, my parents and I and my grandparents burned so much fossil fuel and ignored the environment for so long, because it's a real problem, and it really is something that you guys are going to have to deal with. And I remember Republicans, I hate to be so partisan, but I remember Republicans 20 years ago on Capitol Hill, I worked on Earth Day, and they were saying that climate change was non-existent. It wasn't caused by anything that we had done, and that it was just cyclical and it was nothing to worry about. And now we all have the reality, you know, when we see these terrible fires in California and earthquakes and other things, that it is a reality. And we're going to have to.
And if I could add, student debt to that list, because that is such a growing problem, especially with young people today. I can't imagine in 10 years from now, you know, if nothing's done about it, how worse it's going to get. But, you know, I definitely don't want to leave out student debt in that equation of what's important to young people right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And we made all our kids take out loans when they went to school. We paid for most of the tuition and housing and stuff, but we also made them take out loans. And, you know, I said to them for years that I worked my way through college. I worked my way through college, and I worked my way through graduate school, and I paid for everything, my housing, my books, my tuition. But, you know, not that I was ever honest with them, but to be honest with you, it cost me, I think it cost me like $750 a semester to go to school. I think that was my tuition. And sometimes the books were as expensive as the tuition. I mean, it was crazy. We made less money, of course, but to go from, you know, $1,500 a year, and I went to a good college, to go from $1,500 a year to $30,000 a year. I don't know who can afford, what person without a college education can afford $120,000 to get a college education. It's just crazy. It's one of the things I love most about Elizabeth Warren, that she wants to get rid of that debt. And I think we should. How would that, do you have college loans?
No, I was very fortunate to get a scholarship. But, you know, in the future, you know, I would love to get some further education, and for that, I will have to take out some loans. So, you know, this is crucial to anybody, whether they have debt now or they want to get debt in the future. You know, loans are such a big topic. And, you know, if I can relate this back to statehood here, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, why students should care, and really why anybody outside of D.C. should care about statehood. And I think the best answer is because these issues that we're talking about that are important to just people in general, everybody can find an issue that they care about and statehood behind it. You know, D.C. can't do the things that other people can do in the states. So if you care about health care, you know, if D.C. wants to pass a health care law, guess what? It has to go to Congress, you know, for their oversight. Or the other way around, if Congress wants to do something, D.C. has no vote in that say. So they have no voice to say whether, you know, we want the national system to be this or this. So both, you know, bottom up and top down, every single issue that somebody cares about, you know, D.C. statehood should be on their minds. Because if we had extra votes in Congress, or if we had the chance to govern ourselves, I think things today, whether it be legislation or nominations, would be completely different than what it would be if D.C. had a voice.
Well, thanks so much for bringing that up, because that is such an important point. Imagine what would have happened over the past couple of years in the United States Senate if you had two Democratic senators from the District of Columbia. And it's pretty safe. It's a pretty safe bet that, given that we're 94%, you know, 94% voted for Hillary Clinton, we are liberal Democrats here in the District of Columbia. It's a pretty safe bet that you would have had two liberal Democrats as senators, and they would have changed. It would have changed the whole face of what's gone on in the Senate in the past several years. So it you're absolutely right. No matter what your issue is, D.C. statehood fits into it somehow, and that's one of the reasons. That's one of the motivations behind Teach Democracy, is that trying to point that out to people and trying to get them involved in the democratic process and see how this is so intricately involved in so many different issues. So we're starting to wind down here a little bit. Tell me, what's in the future for Noah Wells? What are you? I know you're working on a contract for the USDA. Is this going to be a long-term position for you, or you know, are you going to work on other for other government agencies? Do you know?
I actually work for the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration.
I'm sorry, FDA. What did I say?
USDA? Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I'm getting
for
old.
The future. Yeah. for the future, though, I would I think I've always seen myself maybe running for some kind of elected office someday. You know, whether that's a local position here, like an ANC commissioner, or whether that's maybe your position someday, Senator. But I think elected office is something that I'm kind of hoping for in the future, so that I can kind of give back and really you know, fight for things that I believe in and the community here believes in, whether that's here in D.C. or whether that's on the Hill in Congress, maybe if we have a vote by then.
Well, first of all, let me volunteer to be your volunteer campaign manager, because I think you'd be an amazing candidate. And secondly, let me say, please don't run against me, because I wouldn't stand a chance. You're way more charismatic and obviously considerably brighter than I am, since I don't know the difference between the USDA and the FDA. But, you know, that's good. I think we need people like you, Noah, that are concerned about the issue and that can reach people. One of the things that bothers me most about Donald Trump is that he's not a leader. He may be many things, but he doesn't inspire people. And I think political people need to be inspirational. I think they need to motivate. That's one of their primary responsibilities. Actually, Marianne Williamson said this on the show. She quoted Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who said that, I'm sorry, not Roosevelt, I think it was Eisenhower, who said that the administrative function of the president was secondary to the leadership function, actually providing leadership to people in the country. And I think that's very important. I think you're a born leader. I think you'd be very, very good at it. So you have my vote, and I certainly would be willing to help you get there, because you're a good guy and you work hard, and I think your heart's in the right place, and that's important. So what now tell me, you're originally from Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania originally. I was born there, and I went all the way up to high school there, and then I moved to Washington, D.C. for studying at American University in fall of 2014.
And you like it here. This is a great place. Yeah, well, that's great. Well, I used to be the direct mail consultant for the Pennsylvania Democratic Party, so I spent a lot of time in Harrisburg, because that's where they were, and I would run up there all the time. You know, it was not too bad a car ride, but and Harrisburg is a nice place, but Washington, there's so much opportunity here for young people. It's such a vibrant city. If you don't know this, if you're a listener out there and you haven't been to Washington lately, we get about 1,000 new people a month, and most of them are millennials, people that younger people that are revitalizing the city, and so yeah, it's a really great place to be. Well, let me ask you, Noah, is there anything you want to talk about that we haven't talked about?
I would just encourage everybody listening to again visit our website and check out our Congress tab and our 2020 tab to get educated on what elected officials are doing today. But also, you know, follow us on social media. And if there are any students listening, to definitely reach out to us. There's a contact form that you can fill out on our website, and I'd definitely love to get in contact with you and work with you wherever you are or whatever you want to do so that we can further this movement.
Well, I encourage all of you to do that too, and you can, you know, from the past 50 minutes, you've heard what a great guy Noah is, and he's really somebody that it would be in your best interest, I think, no matter what your issue is, as we've discussed, to at least touch base with them and find out what's going on. And once again, Noah, give that website, okay, so that people know.
Sure. It's www.studentsfordcstatehood.org, and our Twitter is @studentsfordc. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram, but definitely go on that website and check us out. And, you know, everything you'll need is there. You can check out our blog. And again, you can check out that video that we made that we're all very proud of. It's a great video that kind of just lays out the entire statehood movement in about 3 minutes. So
yeah, you really can learn a lot. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? And the thing that I got that I liked most about your video was that the graphics were so great and it was so engaging. You know, there's so much. I can't tell you how many times I've gone in to lecture young people and, you know, 5 minutes into the lecture, I see the three guys sitting in the front row nodding out because, you know, you've got to make it interesting to hold people's attention. And in this day and age, with so much social media out there, even for 3 minutes, you need to make it, you know, interesting and engaging to hold people's attention. And I think you've really, really done that. So let me also say that we'll download it and we'll put it on our BBS website. We'll try to get it around because, again, it was really good, really good stuff. Let me ask you, what kind of membership you have? How many members you have?
Yeah, so we kind of restructured our whole organization here over the last year, the last academic year. And so what we did was we started canvassing every week at these universities that I referred to. And so far, this past year, so from late August, early September of last year until this very moment here during final season, we've signed up over 1,000 students just to get involved about the issue. And so with those people, what we do is, you know, we get them more involved in the movement, but we also share information and upcoming events. We email them pretty much about every month about some news and some things that they can get more involved with. But, you know, we want to continue that next year as we look to the 2019-2020 school year and, you know, get another 1,000 students.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think that's amazing because I remember when this stuff started. And you said early on in the show that it had died and you guys revived it. But I remember when it started, there were only a handful of people. I mean, a handful. I'm amazed that you've signed up 1,000 people. That's great. And anything that we can do, anything our delegation can do to help in that regard, we'd really like to do because we think it's so important. And I should point out that on May 24th, and I hope that you've been invited, Noah. If you haven't, let us know, and we'll invite you. Johnny Barnes, who is an advocate and was the chief of staff for our first delegate to Congress, Walter Fauntroy, is holding a forum on D.C. statehood. And, you know, he asked me, he came in my office the other day and asked me to mention it to you, because he knows you're working on D.C. statehood, and also to mention it on the show. So we'll put details about that up on our website. And if it's okay with you, Noah, I'll ask Johnny to email you some stuff, and maybe you can put it up on your website too. We're hoping for a big turnout. It's kind of a teach-in about D.C. statehood, and, you know, we can never have enough of those and engage enough people. So, Noah, thank you so much for being on our show today. I really appreciate it. You're an eloquent spokesman for our cause, and we appreciate all your hard work. I hope as we proceed through the primary season next year and then on to the general election that we can have you back again and you can give us an update on what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you to you and everyone listening for all your support, you know, especially the statehood delegation here, because like I said, at the end of last year, without you, Senator, and Senator Strauss and Representative Garcia, I don't think I would have got involved in the movement. So you guys really got me involved into what this organization really is today. So I really appreciate your help, and thank you for having me on.
Well, I would think that's one of the better things that we've accomplished then, getting you involved. So thanks again, Noah. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Now, you know, we always send you out with a song at the end of the show. And tonight, in honor of our friend Noah, who's a young person that's being so helpful in our cause, here's a song from John Mayer. We'll see y'all next week with another guest. Thanks again for listening for me and Maria. I hope you have a great week. Thanks. One, two. One, two.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.